by the time the tiger was killed at the end, he wasn't the monster anymore.
Well, we knew him better, but he'd also become a much cleverer killer. This particular tiger incident offered an amazing opportunity for a writer because it takes place in the Russian Far East, a place where temperatures can drop to minus 50. There's snow on the ground a lot of the time. This story took place in late December, shortest days of the year. So everything that tiger did was recorded in snow, and everything that the humans around it did was also recorded. And because the case was taken very seriously, video was taken, photos were taken, maps were made, interviews were done, so I had an enormous amount to work with. And because of all that data, you're able to get a much better hand on the tiger. It's not like it just whips in there, does the deed, and takes off. You can see how it's walking around. You can see the choices it's making. You can see when it changes direction to go after a particular person. You can see how that person react when the, you know, up until the last moment when the tiger was on him. So you're able to, it's a recording. It's really like what we're doing now, except it's in snow instead of digital.
And the tiger starts off seeming like an invincible monster. I mean, that, like, how are they going to pull down this?
Yeah.
Because these are big creatures. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. So give me some of the dimensions and capabilities of a Siberian tiger.
Well, the Siberian or Amur tiger, as they're also known, is considered the biggest cat on Earth. And there are cat biologists who will argue that, but, you know, they can get to 500 and 600 pounds. The biggest ones, maybe over 10 feet long, nose to tail.
Size of a compact car.
Yeah, well, people went to town on this biggest cat on Earth thing, so there were some gross exaggerations made in the mid-20th century. On the other hand, I do think the tigers were bigger before because so many of them were killed that the gene pool was reduced. The same thing has happened with elephants in East Africa and moose in New Brunswick. 500 pounds, capable of enduring alone, you know, outside of a den, out with no other tigers for company in minus 50 temperatures. So they have this unbelievable fortitude and this extraordinary mass. I mean, to be hit by one is really like having a piano thrown at you, except they do it silently and they can do it invisibly. And that was one of the things that amazed me is Siberian tigers, Amur tigers are black and orange and white, just like tropical tigers are, but they can hide in snow, and it doesn't make any sense until you realize that the three hunters who were attacked by this animal, all of them were attacked head on, all of them were armed, all of them knew that a dangerous tiger was out there, and they never saw it coming. And this, in every case, the tiger was in the open, hiding in the open, and it's a contradiction. And yet when you look at the tracks, you look at the imprint of the animal, you look where the man is, you look where the impact was, and you can see the tiger was right there. There's no bush or log or tree. It's there, but it's not there. And so there is this, you know from the Golden Spruce too, I'm sort of attracted to supernatural stories that can be verified journalistically. And I saw the videos, you know, and I heard the accounts, and the same thing happened over and over again. And so it wasn't coincidence. I mean, it wasn't just a, you know, one freak, you know, lapse of attention. These guys knew that there was something serious out there. So that, you know, is irresistible and an extraordinary thing. You know, it's an opportunity to try to understand that, to grapple with that, because there are, you know, all these myths, you know, about tigers across Asia. The indigenous peoples of that region of the Russian Far East are still there. They still tell those stories and still maintain some of those beliefs. And now, when I went and looked at it through the eyes of a video camera and a Western Russian hunter, you see why people believe those things.
Should we call him a detective? Because he kind of is.
He certainly acts like one. He's sort of almost, you could say, a forensic warden. I mean, he's there to poaching is the biggest threat facing tigers across Asia. And where those poached tigers go is to China for medicinal purposes, alleged medicinal purposes. And so highly trained squads of anti-poaching teams have been assembled. And Yuri Trush was one of those men. And so he's got still cameras, video cameras, you know, trained in interviewing, trained basically to study a case forensically. So in a way, these incidents were treated almost like murders in that sense. And it's, you know, for a journalist, it's a gold mine.
It felt a lot like a serial killer story because you know he's going to kill again. And like a serial killer, smart and staying around to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
I mean, they go to the first killing scene and they know just by the way the dogs are acting.
Yeah, he's there.
The tiger's still there.
He's right there. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's very frightening. The other thing that really struck me about it is the forest there, you know, rural area, very remote villages, but all kinds of people are in the forest. People are harvesting mushrooms. They're, in the winter, they're hunting for pine cones because the Korean pine there has edible nuts that are valuable to the Chinese, but also very good eating. So there are all kinds of people in the forest. And this tiger targeted European Russian hunters, armed men every time. And almost as if, you know, and tigers hunt for food, they attack from behind. They fight adversaries from the front. And every victim was attacked from the front.
The book is The Tiger, A True Story of Vengeance and Survival. I've been speaking with the writer John Valiant, and The Tiger is published by Knopf Canada.